Welcome to the Gringlish Podcast, episode 2.
I'm Greek Australian. That's why I look like this, but I sound like this.
I want to start this off by reviewing some things from this crazy thing we call the internet. Now, I've been going pretty absurdly like crazy with this one section of the internet. Now, if you're like me, and you're Gen Z, you will find like this one corner of the internet, one weird little corner of the internet, and get obsessed by it for 6 months straight, right? And just not even think about anything else. You will get home, make your fajito, and you'll be like, I have to watch something, and it's gonna be that thing. Now for me, the last 6 months, it's been, how do I describe this in a polite way? People dying terrible deaths. Here, let me explain. There's this YouTube channel called Scary Interesting, okay? And like this YouTube channel, how'd I explain it? It's just white people mainly going saying, oh, I want to climb Everest and then snowboard down, and then they die a terrible death. And you're sitting there like having an anxiety attack because you feel their pain and their anxiety. And then you're like, kind of, as a Greek, you're like, stay at home, make your food, go to bed, have a little tipuro, and that's a crazy night. Whatever, you know? And I realized the clear difference between white people and not white people is whether or not it's in their culture to go and climb mountains, do cave diving, cave exploring, underwater cave diving, like, yet I've got to do this. If I think of what my mom would say, if I said to her, hey mom, I want to go underwater scuba diving in a cave that no one's been before that's famous for killing people, she'd be like, is this like a galasso, bro? What are you thinking, man? Are you crazy? You want to die? What's the fuck's wrong with you? And I hear that voice in my head when I watch Scary Interesting, or there's this other YouTube channel, Morbid Midnight, and a guy with a very mellow voice. Let me pull it up. A very mellow voice will say something like, last on the 32nd of September in 1992, two young men decided to go underwater cave diving with no equipment, with half a tank of oxygen in their shorts, with no food or water, and they didn't tell anyone. This is their story. Boom, boom. Dun, 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 dun. Boom, boom. And you're like, this will be good. Here's 42 minutes of the worst cave diving disaster in history, right? Here you go. Rope breaks 500 feet down into cave dive. Who told you to go 500 feet down into a cave, bro? Like, and I realized I've always had, not identity issues, but I've always been perplexed by what I appear as. We all are. We all are like, how people perceive me, right? I'm Greek, but I was born in Australia, raised in Australia, there for 18 years, moved back to Greece, live in Cyprus sometimes. I look Arab. People don't know what's going on with me. And sometimes I don't know. Who am I, right? And a lot of people in America, they will never call me white. They always call me like Latinx, which I'm not Latino. Or they'll be like, you're brown, or you're like Middle Eastern, or whatever. And in Greece, they're like, Asimi, bro, you look like a Turk, which, you know. So like, am I white? Am I black? Am I brown? I don't know what's going on. I'm not black. But like, I'm not white, right? I'm in the middle. I'm there in the middle. But I think the definitive factor between white, brown, black is whether or not your country, your people, have been on a scary, interesting video. Now, for example, let's go to one of the most horrible fates. Everyone knows this who's taken, you know, done like me, 6 months looking at Scary Interesting, right? Everyone has seen this one story. It's called Nutty Potty Cave. Now, this dude, seriously, I feel sorry for him. But like basically this guy went down a tunnel head first with his friends, and like he went head first, Etsy, into a nutty putty cave, And he died eventually. Like, they tried to save, but he died. Let me pull up a Scary Interesting version, because you got to hear the intro of Scary Interesting. Let me pull up a random version of Scary Interesting.
As I'm sure many...
Listen to this music at the start of Scary Interesting.
As I'm sure many of you know, the Nutty Putty Incident is probably the most famous caving incident of all time. It's also the story that probably sparked this entire genre and instilled a caving phobia in so many people.
Cave-phobia, that's what but I
did got. You know that 40 years earlier, there was another incident with eerily similar circumstances? This is that story.
Goosebumps. That's... I don't want... I get an anxiety attack and goosebumps every time that song comes on. The guy with his weird, deathly voice. Okay. Okay, so... my point is... this genre on YouTube is crazy. Because, like, these people are dying the worst deaths. It's always North Americans, Western Europeans, sometimes Russians. But that's it. No one who's, like, middle brown or black is doing this stuff. And that's because our lives are hard enough. That's why. We didn't need to look for an adventure. I don't say to my Greek friends, Ella, Alex, bro, let's go to a cave or let's go underwater scuba diving for a holiday. Is it for I'm trying to relax in my holidays. I'm not trying to do exercise or do some, you know, the hardest thing ever. What are you fucking talking about? And he's right. I'm trying to relax. I want to sit there with my drink, food, sun, fall asleep on the beach, and go back home. That's a holiday for us. Next topic. So, interesting little development business-wise. So, I'm in Barcelona. I'm still in Barcelona. I joined a run club. It's called RAZZ. R-A-Z-Z-E. And it's a run club. What's a run club, I hear you ask? I'll tell you. So a run club is a club where you run. But it's more of a social club. Like, it's more about meeting people, the other gender, like, date. It's half a dating club, to be honest. But I realized, I went there on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. here in Barcelona. I realized everyone here didn't go out clubbing last night. And they had the wherewithal, the strength, the dynamite to wake up at 8 a.m. and go and do a run. That's the type of person I want to hang out with. That's the type of person I would want to date in a woman. Like, it's genius. And it's healthy, you know? I have not been drinking when I go out clubbing bar hopping the last 3 months because I'm trying to lose weight, right? And it's so many calories in alcohol and stuff. So it's like, running is like another form of fun where you don't need to consume a ton of calories, right? So yeah, I really liked it. I really liked the idea. I think it's smart. I'm like, this isn't done in Greece or Cyprus, and we need it. Our obesity rates are embarrassing. Greece doesn't have a culture of athleticism or going to the gym. It's not cool in Greece yet. It's slowly getting there. But like, I remember going to the gym in 2018 in Greece, and it's like five machines that are about 4,400 years old by an old dude who's took steroids for 56 years. And now he's just there, half asleep. You got to pay in cash. And the ceiling is dripping with water. Now, all right, there's a few better gyms. I saw a really good one in Glyfada. I saw a really good one in, I want to say, Metaxodiokapu, like something you wouldn't expect it. But now, still, like, the amount of normal good gyms in Germany or Australia or America is like, there's a billion good ones. All the gyms are good. Most gyms in Greece are terrible. The best gym I've ever been to in the world, by the way, is in Kithire, in Livadi. It's insanely good. But there's some sort of a story there. I don't know. I'll inspect next time I go. But my point is, we don't have a culture of, you know, in Australia, at school, you'll do a gym 2-3 times a week for after school, at school. You'll do PE, physical education, 2-3 times during school hours. And then on the weekends, you'll do soccer, your own football on Saturday, and you'll do your own on your own free time during the week. You'll do two, so you're doing like 10 sessions of exercise. And on top of that, I did swimming 5 days a week. So I was working out technically. I was working out up to 10 times a week. You'd think you get exhausted, but we really didn't. It was just good. We didn't have that culture in Greece. We're not an exercise culture in Greece, and that should change. It is slowly changing. But anyway, my point is, We started a run club in Athens, in Thessaloniki, in Larnaca, and in Lefkosia. Called Trexe, T-R-E-X-E, full stop, period. And we're going to have little, it's basically like a franchise model. One franchise in Athens, one franchise in Thessaloniki, and a franchise in Larnaca, and another one in Lefkosia. I've got great guys behind each franchise, and we're going to kick it off in July. Start of July, we're going to have our first runs, but we'll do it every 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes. I think it's a good thing. I love running. And we'll see how it goes. It's a business. I think sponsorship is probably going to be the way it makes money, how we monetize. But if you can get a community together, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can monetize in a million ways. So that's that. Run club. Interesting little niche. Now, I saw a good article about the shipping families of Greece. After World War II, America had to make all these ships. They're called Liberty ships. Liberty ships. To ship stuff from America to Europe, to Russia, to everywhere, so that they could send all their resources to Western Europe and the Allies to defeat the Nazis. Now, after World War II, the Liberty ships, there was like thousands of Liberty ships that they didn't need anymore. There was not that much demand anymore, right? They cost $2 million to build, $43 million in 2024. Holy shit. But, which is relatively cheap, I think, in comparison to like the ships that are made now. So like all these ships are made, and then there's this one picture somewhere of like mothballed. Here you go. Look at this photo of just all these Liberty ships that were just mothballed, which means not used anymore. They're like a junkyard, right? All these ships were not needed anymore. So that the US government was like trying to give them away for free, basically. And there was a couple Greek families that were either already in production, already in the shipping niche, in the shipping industry, or especially because there were some families that did their shipping stuff, the ship in the Ottoman Empire. Like they were a shipping family during the Ottoman Empire. Especially from islands like Chios, I think it was. They were a big shipping island, right? Now, these families who had some money, had some experience in shipping, they're like, I'm going to get loans and buy a bunch of these Liberty ships, right? Now, something to consider. Everything you buy, this shirt, this watch, this water, probably, this phone, all the parts of this phone, all the parts of this laptop, everything we buy came on a ship. So somewhere it was assembled and it was on another ship, on another ship, on another ship. The world runs on ships, right? And if I was to bet, if I was a betting man, and I'm not really, but I do like educated guesses, most of the shit you're wearing and using at some point was on a ship owned by a Greek person, one of the 12 Greek shipping families. So this is their history. They bought these Liberty ships from the Americans for very cheap and started using them to build their fleets. Now, there were many huge things happening at this time in the world. One, World War II ended, so everyone needed to rebuild their bloody country because it was bombed to shit, right? So they needed things to be shipped around the world more than ever. There was this little thing that was found in the Middle East called oil, and the world needed it more than ever. And the best way to get that shit anywhere is either a pipeline or a ship. Now, oil tankers were barely even invented. Some of the first people to invent, to use and have oil carriers were Greek shipping families, like Aristotle Onassis. Now, most of his ships at the start were just whaling ships in bloody Chile, right? But now he's like, oh, I can sign a deal with Saudi Arabia to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest oil ship owner in the world. And he did. And that's how he became the richest man in the world. Saudi Arabian oil deals. So he had these oil tankers. Now, at the same time, another revolution is happening. During World War II and all of shipping history before, how would you move, I don't know, 500 kilos of 500 tons of potatoes? You put them in sacks and you put them in a big net and you carry the net over into the ship. It's not organized. It's not compact. It's not scalable. However, they invented something called the 20-foot shipping container. And the 40-foot shipping container and refrigerated shipping containers. And I know these containers very well. very intimately, because I bloody emptied about 100,000 of them when I had to empty shipping containers as a kid when I was young. Now, the standardization of shipping containers made it much more scalable and easier to ship stuff. So these Liberty ships were refitted, or new ships were created and developed at the same time, and shipping blew up. It was just became massive. And these 12 Greek families became the Golden Greeks, right? That's literally what they were called. They were famous, especially Onassis and Nearchos, and I think Latsis and some other names, right? Now, let's speed forward from post-World War II to now, or to 2021. Greece still has the biggest merchant fleet in the world because, again, Greek shipping families using flags of convenience, which means flags where, like, wages and stuff are better for you and taxes, right? The Greek shipping families, essentially, in 2021, Russia got sanctioned because of the war in Ukraine. The Greek shipping families still move the oil and resources of Russia to and from Russia. Morally, not great. because they are the West, they are in NATO, they should be helping, right? If the NATO is doing that, they should be helping. In other words, what this Forbes article talks about is Russia is able to compete. Russia is able to, in the war, is able to continue the war because they're still surviving, because they're still selling oil and gas because of these 12 Greek shipping families, who's part of the West. But I know that sounds bad, and it is bad. However, you need to consider Greece's position in the world, in the geopolitical world. Now, ever since we joined the EU, everyone has always considered Greece as undeniably Western. And we are Western. We are European, sure. But in Greece, as a perspective, as a Greek, we have a mixed perspective of East-West and our loyalties to the West. Firstly, we owe nothing to the West, right? We don't. Culturally, financially, we pay our debts, if you believe it. We actually do. Like, it's not like the West is doing us any favors by giving us loans, right? Because, like, just from a financial standpoint, Greece could not have existed from 1821, from 1770s, with Mavro Michali from Areopoli starting the rebellion. They got funds, loans, from Philhellenes, Greeks and Greek friends in the West, mainly Germany, France, England, right? The Troika. To fund guns, ammunition, food, etc. for the war. Then we got even more loans in World War I and the Balkan Wars and the First World War and the Second World War and the EU. We always got loans from the West. That's the only reason we exist. But it wasn't for free. They're loans. We have to pay interest on them. The people taking these loans, giving these loans out to Greece, is making a shit ton of money. It's profiteering, right? Now, am I happy we got the loans so that we can exist? Yeah, okay. But I'm not going to beg on the floor and say how great the West is, right? The Troika is. Because they also instilled austerity measures on Greece, which sucked for 15 years now. So, yes, they helped at a price. That's called capitalism. We don't owe you anything on top of that. Now, the hardships that Greeks suffered over the last 100 years, Ukraine never helped. Ukraine didn't exist. But Russia helped. The Orlov Rebellion, Catherine the Great, Peter the Great, always pro-Greece, helping Greeks and anti-Ottoman. When Cyprus was invaded in 74, who helped us? Or who helped Cyprus? Nobody. Not the Ukrainians, not the Arabs, not the West. Not the Turks, obviously. Nobody. So it appears when Greece or Cyprus is in trouble, no one helps. No one's putting sanctions on anybody because, well, Turkey was a NATO ally. So it's like, in what position is Greece in to fully oblige their, not just government and military, but also private citizens, shipping family owners, to do what they want? I don't know. I don't know that answer. I believe that's just a question we should ask, right? So, like, these Forbes videos vilifying the Greek shipping families, it's like, you're vilifying them for doing exactly what all of the Americans Germans, French, and English rich people do as well. It's just easier to vilify Greeks because we're that dirty Eastern country on the periphery of Europe. And I wish I was making some, you know, being dramatic, but just look at the history of the Western view of Greece, the Western view of the East Roman Empire, of the Byzantine Empire. They always called us like, they're just profiteering, they're just doing this, they're money hungry, greedy, they're bad with finances. This stereotype goes on for over 1,500 years. From Western Roman Empire, from Holy Roman Empire to now. Just look, if you want to look at how the West has seen Greeks from then to now, go and look at the diplomats' visits from Holy Roman Empire, France, anywhere in the West, any Roman, East Roman, Western European kingdom to Constantinople. And you'll see most Roman emperors will treat them like kings, and they'll be like, they're just money hungry, they have so much money, they're being greedy, they should share their wealth with the West. The Roman emperor is a fucking hairy pig. Like, they're insane. They're fucking insane. And the stereotype goes on to this day. So thanks for that, Forbes. Big, big help there. But that's the thing. My question is, sure, they're helping Russia. Well, they're not helping Russia. They're just doing business. But so are you. When Germany was making money, being the best manufacturing company in the manufacturing heart of Europe for 20 years at the because they had the profit margins from paying for a very cheap Russian gas, no one was saying shit. But Greek shipping owners to make money now from shipping Russian gas and oil, it's a major issue. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying I'm pro this, I'm pro that in this statement. All I'm saying is hypocrisy, right? Let me know what you think. But that's that. Let's go on to the next topic. So, let's go. So, we next are going to talk a bit about something funny. Now, this is so silly. So silly. But I'm going to show you this Instagram page I found. This week. Now, I've always said, I fucking love the internet. The internet is what has allowed me to make my money. I sell e-commerce businesses, right? I started in e-commerce. So like, I love the internet and all the weird things about her, right? So I found this Instagram page. It's called Official Stick Reviews. It's got 840,000 followers. And this is their bio. The internet's go-to for stick reviews. Thanks for sticking around. Hashtag Stick Nation. I love this fucking thing. I'm going to check out their website. I haven't actually Stick Nation merch or Stick Nation YouTube. Okay, I haven't actually seen this. So they're selling bumper stickers, Stick Nation, cups, shirts. Pretty basic website. I'd be very interested to see how much money they make. Probably not that much, but it's just cool, right? They only have like 300 subscribers. Not that many views on their videos. Instagram is obviously where they do most of their work. But they are trying. I like that they're building a brand, trying to build a brand around it. So let's take a look at their Instagram page. So essentially what's happening here is people will find a dope ass stick, like a cool stick, right? And I understand that this is, you assume that this is something that men get obsessed with, right? But it's not just men, right? Firstly, like, look at this stick. This is obviously, look at this stick. That is like a, like, and they've created like this whole like culture around the stick, right? It's like, this is a level 20 stick. Look at its aura. What up, Stick? This is legend. Found a cool stick. Like, what's up?
What's up, Stick Nation?
So this guy found a cool wizard stick, right? Look at this. Yeah. That is dope, right? Are you seeing what I'm saying, right?
Ultimate wizard stick.
Cool, right? They're putting a lot of like video game-ness around it, but
some kind of museum. You can see it's got a little handle here, so it's good for jousting. You can ride it on with a horse, stick it under your arm.
So like, this guy's Australian. It's all over the world. And you think it's just men that we're crazy, we love our sticks. Every dude remembers as a kid seeing a stick and being like, this is like the perfect sword stick. This is the perfect stick, looks like a gun. But even girls are doing this. Look at this girl.
Warmer, like, activities. It's your stick today. far as nannies go, this one's about a 7. Now this is a max level sorcerer wand right here.
Hello, Stick Nation. Today, I'm introducing you...
This guy's from India. Cool stick.
Walking
very stick. Straight stick. Cool stick. Epic gray weapon. And of course, we will delve into the comments, Instagram comments. So, this random dude is calling it the Stormcaller's Short Battle Staff. Description. The Stormcaller's Short Battle Staff is a formidable weapon crafted from enchanted oak wood and adorned with runes that crackle with electrical energy. Compact yet potent, this battle staff harnesses the power of lightning, making it a fearsome tool in the hands of those who command storms. Stats. Type. Melee weapon. Magical focus. Material. Enchanted oak wood. Durability. 70 out of 70. Weight, 4 pounds. Range, close combat, range when casting spells. Damage, base damage, 1d8, I don't know what that means, bludgeoning. Critical hit, 2 times damage on a natural 90 to 20. Special attributes. So there's all this shit. I don't have all day. But look at this attractive young woman.
In the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands.
I found some awesome sticks that I would like to share to you. We have this one. It's a very twisty... very twisty stick.
Not my favorite.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. Then we have this one. I feel like it's like a wizard staff or something. It seems very powerful.
That's a shit stick. That's a gun.
The lightning, finally. There's these two. And they...
And that's why I love the internet. Some weird dude found a stick and some other sticks and was like, I should post about this. Now all the other people from all across the crazy internet have sent in their stick reviews. It's just dope, dude. I love the internet for this reason. We are just cool. We're nerdy and cool, dude. And next time I see a cool stick, I will be sending it in for the official stick review. So my last comment on this Stick Nation review stuff. This is a great example of a business... Of a page, of a nerdy little stupid thing that can be turned into a business. Like, I don't know how much money he's making from his merch, but now that Instagram is paying for views, I'm sure he's getting pretty decent views. Like, if you look at his reels, he's got 150,000 views, 80,000, 90,000, 2.6 mil. Like, he's getting paid now, right? So that's why the internet is cool and you can see business opportunity everywhere. So... now that we've got that important business done, let's go on to our next topic, which is stick reviews. Okay, I've always wanted to do this. Always, always, always. Now, I'm reviewing this music video, right? And it's a review of a music video, right? Which means I can do this. I love Greek music videos, right? Because they make no sense. I love music videos in general, right? But they just make no sense whatsoever in Greece for some reason. Like, there's so many music videos. I would wake up as a kid at like 8 a.m., 7 a.m. in Australia, and I would watch Rage TV, where they just play music videos. I remember it was like one of my first ever memories was watching Everlong by the Foo Fighters, which I love that fucking song. And I just love reviewing and watching music videos, right? So here we have the OG, well, he's not the OG, but he's an OG, Pantelis Pantelidis. And it's this Kardiasmo to Gramenu. Great song. Everyone loves it. Everyone loves him. What the fuck? Let me pull that back up. Don't know where that went. Great song, right? Now, this is in money, by the way. I think that looks like Montanistica. I went there, actually. But I love this music video because it makes no fucking sense. So there's this lady wearing a madili for some reason. This dude is just walking, and then all of a sudden he has a panic attack because she fell? What happened? Did she jump off? Where's the blood? I'm just lost, is what I'm saying. It gets worse. So, I don't really understand fully what's happening, right? He's smoking, which I don't understand how. What does that have to do with anything? I love this song, by the way. She's walking around town, an abandoned town. For some reason, firstly, why is Bardellis wearing like a Game of Thrones coat? I don't understand. What is he wearing? Isn't Mio, did Bardellis just wear the same navy blue jacket for his whole professional career? I just don't understand what's happening. Is she Muslim? Is that why she's wearing a madili? I don't know, I fully understand. I don't understand why he's wearing that jacket. What if, I don't understand. So they're in love. And the Bardellis is in the background of this shot. You don't understand. Is it like a forbidden love story? Like Romeo and Juliet? In an abandoned village? I mean, the scenery is great. I just don't understand the plot. Does she not want to be with him? And then she's in a wheelchair, that's right. It ends with her being in a wheelchair. So she jumped off or suicide, and then she takes the madili off? Or she was mourning, or maybe she was a widower. Is that what happened? She was a widow because her ex died. Then she got so sad that she jumped off a building and broke her legs. And then he still loves her. I don't know. But that's our music video review for the week. I don't know what's going on. I'm glad we got that done. I'll do a new video every other week. Because that's fun. Let's go to our next topic. So, last bit of funniness. Last bit of silliness for the week. On my phone, I got this sleep app. So when I sleep, it records how much I'm snoring, how well did I breathe, and it gives me a score of how well I slept that night, right? 2 days ago, I slept, and it hurt. I sleep talk, right? And so I'm sleep talking. I wake up and I listen to my sleep talking because it's stupid. Sometimes I'm saying full words, sometimes I'm not. I'm not. And so this day, 2 days ago, I had I was sleep talking, but I was sleep talking gibberish with an American accent. I could not stop laughing at this, right? Listen to this. I'm like, I say something like, I live right above, actually. I live right close, very close, actually. Like, I had an American accent in my dreams, in my sleep talking. Listen to it again. I live very close to it, actually. Right above, actually. Like, why do I have an American accent in my sleep? That's insane, right? What is going on? One more time. Right above, actually. Right above. What the fuck? I live very close to it, actually. Right above, actually. Oh my God. I couldn't stop laughing. Okay. That's all the silliness and tomfoolery we have for this week. I'll see you in the next episode of Gringlish. Yeah.